Like, there's 17 other goddamn seats on the bus, man. Go sit in one of those.
Bad songwriting.
Smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press recording, uploaded to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. Dang it. Dang it. It's Deranged Penguin Podcast. The Deranged Penguin Podcast.
And Bobby.
An episode of the podcast. Episode 153.
Coming at you live.
Yeah, you know, it's been a few weeks, and I'm gonna go ahead and put the blame squarely on Brad. Brad and
Dale.
Like
a month.
What did I do? I didn't do anything.
I mean, you get the blame, dude. Yeah, I mean, well, like, we're like, we can do it this thing. Like, I don't know. I'm going to be in Portland drinking coffee and whatnot. And so we're like, all right, fine.
That's what he kept telling us.
We'll just do it when we get to Tennessee. And Brett, I knew, and like, I looked at Gina. I was like, we're not going to do anything Saturday afternoon. Sure enough, Brett didn't even make the game. He didn't even show up in time.
Yeah. That was not my fault. Like, that was a Lopez's fault. We were up first thing in the morning. We were going to make it. Huh?
So, last we left you. On the last time on the Deranged Penguin Podcast, your heroes, Adam and Gina, were going to Tennessee to meet up with Bradley in Knoxville. Well, we did manage to do that. We met up with Brad, and we had some beers with them, and we had some food with them, and then we sent him on a Greyhound bus.
Okay. Which, if I can interject.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
We'll get to that point. You can elaborate on all that stuff a little bit later. We just got to give everybody the full story, right? So that happened.
You're not your full story.
Yeah. Well, so.
Adam's full story.
That afternoon, so the plan was that he'd show up to the game. We'd have a good old time watching the game. Mm-hmm. Maybe do a little podcast, with Dell while Dell was in Portland. Now, I didn't think all of that was plausible, given everybody. So much so that I didn't even take any podcast materials with me, because I knew it was not going to happen. I was very doubtful.
I was ready to go, man. I wasn't sleeping.
You were sleeping.
Most of Saturday, wasn't sleeping.
He was sleeping.
With his headphones on.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. And so, anyway, so we sent Brad away on a Greyhound. He's going to tell us a bit more about that Greyhound. I think you said that's probably his preferred mode of travel now.
He fell in love.
If he could get a Greyhound to work every morning, then...
That's exactly what I would be doing.
Good job. So then fast forward a little bit. It was Thanksgiving. By the way, this would have been... Well, it's like the fourth Thanksgiving sort of podcast episode that we've done. We've been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
So...
Surprisingly. Yeah. Even though it sounds like we don't know what we're doing and this is like our first or second week.
Yeah. We're already like recording and Dell is in the background, I don't know, putting together a fridge or something. I don't know what he's doing right here.
He's building a door.
Yeah, it looks like he's... Like, I was just playing Fallout 4 and it looks like he's doing that. Like, you have to build a shelter. It looks like that's what Dell's doing. Building a shelter, scavenging
materials.
Yeah, everybody
be warned, Adam sees the world through Fallout 4 now.
Yeah, it's...
No doubt. I see the world through League of Legends.
I heard it was pretty sick.
Yeah. So, all right. So, then I was like, okay, well, we'll do it. What was it? Wednesday we planned to do it? Yeah. And then Brad's like, I don't know. I'm going to have a pre-Thanksgiving dinner.
Yep.
Snack time.
Pre-dinner.
Can't do it because I'm going to be dinnering. I'm like, all right, fine. How about Friday? And then Dell's like, no, we got a big family thing. We're probably going to go to the movies. I was like, what?
Which is completely illegitimate.
I was like, people love me. They don't love you.
It's only a tradition that we've been doing for my whole life.
Well, a lot of people evidently do. It's like one of the most widely attended like cinema days of the year. Yes. I mean,
days,
nobody does
quote
that, though.
Unquote.
It does.
The year, quote unquote.
Year. Year. Movies.
That's weird. That's weird to do that. I think that's just like the lazy person's thing to do. They're like, well, we got everybody that has that shares our last name. What should we do with them? Let's all go to the cinema.
You know
that's
what it
weird.
Is to me?
What?
Smart.
Yeah.
And a way to avoid conflict. That's what it is.
Way to avoid conflict. I was just about to say that.
In my family, that's a way to incite conflict, is to say, which movie should we see? Because then everybody, you know, battles to the death in that one. You don't do that.
Let's be real. Half you motherfuckers are going to be asleep in about an hour anyway. We're not going to respect your opinion like of what movie to watch. Old,
yeah, see, well, old. You put on a movie. That's why you just put on some sports. Everybody can get behind it. It's action. You don't know what's going to happen.
Everybody.
Yeah. Well, the ladies, whatever. They can go clean up.
I mean, they're only like half people anyway, right, Adam? Is that what you're
exactly.
saying?
Exactly.
That's what I felt coming. I also welcome you.
Adam came over to Brad's side on things.
Oh. At least in that respect, get in the kitchen.
Yeah, you should have heard what you say about San Francisco.
On Thanksgiving. What did they say about San Francisco? all right, so that's why we haven't podcasted out and on the internet. I mean, we've been doing things. I think originally we
first time
Monday.
You were sick.
Yeah, I was sick, and then I also had a paper due.
Man, that's legitimate. Sick.
Actually, it because I couldn't. I actually couldn't podcast because I would have been like, "No,
was poor."
It would have been just you. Everybody listening with their headphones. They put it in. Like, what could they be talking about today? Oh, Adam coughing in my ear.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's a really good podcast.
Yeah. that's just one thing. Everybody for yeah, it would have been like that the whole time.
Instead, it was me suffering through that.
Yeah, instead I was like, Gino, can I have some medicine, please?
The worst.
That was the worst.
Before we get going on my section of the excuse as to why I didn't make it to the UT football game, the University of North Texas versus Tennessee football game, I did want to give a big shout-out to my friend John Keevan, who ripped his bicep recently.
Congratulations, John.
Man.
Guess was he got a little bit too rough in some personal exploits in the bathroom, right? Like, he just was going to town on his own junk.
He seems
to think it had something to do with, like, a soccer accident or something like that. But I did want to give him a shout-out. I hope your bicep gets feeling better, bud.
Injured himself on the big dismount.
That's right. That's right.
But completion. Oh, shit. My bicep.
I had this grand idea of taking some means of public transit and not having to drive my car, because my car isn't in fantastic shape and I don't want to leave my wife without a car.
Right.
You know, she has kids that she's watching after. That's a bad idea.
Kids.
So wait, I'm not going to take the,
you actively decided to go on Greyhound.
Yeah. I'm not going to take the well-working car and leave her with a crap car so that she's stranded for, you know, 5 days.
Take a train.
If only they had rent-a-cars.
There are no trains in Knoxville. That's the problem.
You could have rented a car.
You can't get a train to Knoxville.
Why couldn't you rent a car?
Well, that actually entered my mind at one point in the story. So I get a mega bus from Richmond to Durham. Well, that's what I procured, was a ticket on Megabus from Richmond to Durham.
See, and then you paid like 50 cents for that thing, right? Those things are super cheap, and it's weird.
Yeah, I paid $15. I got a refund on my $15 because we only made it to about 10 miles north of the Virginia-North Carolina border, and the bus driver pulled over on the side of the interstate and informed us that Megabus just got in touch with him and realized that he didn't have a driver's license. So he was required to pull
what
over
the
their property and stop the bus.
You would think they'd send a guy over, right? Like a couple dudes in a car, one of which is a bus driver replacement.
Licensed drivers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that. I mean, but
well,
you know,
that was my
that,
first thing. Like, I had to show identification to get on this bus.
Mm-hmm.
You mean to tell me like you didn't have to show identification to get the job?
Well, maybe it was expired.
You didn't have to get on the bus?
Maybe he had an expired license. Maybe it was.
Maybe they just assume you wouldn't apply for this job if you didn't have a
You're
license.
You're not completely.
You're hired.
Stupid, right?
You're hired.
Well, I mean, you are only paying $15 for it, you know?
It's true.
That has right. to cover the maintenance of the bus, and then, I mean, what do they even have left to do any background checks? You're lucky they even found out he didn't have one that way.
Yeah. Well, I would have felt luckier if I had actually made it to my destination. Mm. But,
That's insane. That's a crazy... That kind of stuff only happens to you, dude.
I've heard this a number of times, actually. And, you know, there were really? Like 30 other people on the bus that I feel confident saying it happened to these 30 other people.
Too. Well, did you get off first?
Yeah, it's because we don't run in like, the same circles as regular megabus passengers, you know? What are you doing on a megabus?
The megabus was totally legit. It was all normal people on the megabus. There were some olds, there were some youngs.
Look, normal. Brad has, you should like, know. This
intersection of the
Hold on. Good listeners, Dell's going to tell you about Brad.
You should know from Destination Unknown that you and buses.
I found our camera, and this was the first picture that was on there.
Guest appearance.
What? The Sweet. Camera. The well, first
picture. My wife is showing him nudie pictures.
And the first picture that is on the camera. I don't know if y'all can actually make this out.
We're trying.
It's Adam.
It's Adam in the back seat of the Mini Cooper.
Oh, I remember that.
That was the weekend. Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Origin so story. Man, I look real sissified
back there.
You still
have
there. That shirt.
I do have that shirt. You need to expand that wardrobe.
Yeah, well, it is. Again, I had to throw something on.
You look
on.
Like a homeless Mexican that I picked off the side of the road wearing a t-shirt.
Essentially what happened. So, all right. So, something about Destination Unknown.
Hold on. Pause
yeah,
for
what does
just
that
a second.
Mean?
What?
Yeah.
So, Brad has a terrible experience, terrible track record with Booses, is what you're saying?
Yeah. No. Well, yeah. Destination Unknown.
I don't know what that is.
Which Brad planned. You should know that you and buses, like, you should never come in contact with each other.
I really, yeah. It's really like oil and water. It just, it's not a good track. So when I was an undergrad, I planned, I was social chair for actually quite a while. And one of the parties I planned was this bus trip.
Social
where
chair, huh?
Everybody gets on the bus and we go to a random location, and there's a party waiting for us when we get there. You drink the whole way there, and by the time you get there, you're wasted, and everybody has a good time. Gets back on the bus, you come home, go to sleep, that's it. Or so the plan is supposed to go.
Oh, good.
Before we even left the parking lot, one of the buses was on fire.
What the hell?
On fire?
And there was one contingent of people, me included, that did not make it back until like 5 p.m. the next day.
What the hell?
On a blue school bus from some like high school or something like that. I don't even know where they got it, man. But anyway, it was a really bad experience, and I was trying to revive the relationship that I have with buses through this whole little experience. And it just went really poorly. So the megabus pulls over on the side of the road. There's a Cracker Barrel up, I don't know, off the exit. I go up to the Cracker Barrel and ask the ladies at the counter, because on my way up there, I called Enterprise Rent a Car. I was like, surely I can just rent a car.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that far away. I'm only going to get like 70 miles. Enterprise is like, you know what? We're out of cars. I'm like, this is definitely the way that my trip should have gotten off. On the right foot. And when I get up to the Cracker Barrel, I'm like, listen, old ladies, is there any other means of transit in this hamlet that you call a town? Is there any way, like a zip line to get to the next town? Is there like an underground railroad, anything, you know? And they were like, nope, sorry. And I was like, all right, cool, can I just go rock in your chairs at the Cracker Barrel? They're like, yeah, sure, you need anything to eat, we'll bring it out to you. Go out there, and this fat guy who was behind me in line was like, hey man, you need to get to the next town, let's go.
And so
I hopped in this fat guy's Ford Escape, which I gotta be honest, barely fit into the fucking Ford Escape.
Jeez,
nicest guy in the world.
Barely.
That
fit
is not true.
Escape.
He was a guy. Yeah. He wasn't the nicest guy in the world. He was a fucking guy. He didn't like bake me cookies on the way down there, do my math homework or anything. He's just a guy. But it took me like 30 miles to the next town where I was texting a buddy of mine in Durham to come pick me up because I didn't want to have to rent a car and hitchhike. Yeah. You know? And so I met my buddy there and he took me the rest of the way. And then on the back end,
right,
taking the Greyhound from Knoxville.
Wait, time out. Like, because you're saying you're missing out the key part about how you missed the game, you know, because you were trying to find keys in a car.
So I woke up really early on Saturday morning because I wanted to make this game, and
right. Which was at noon.
Which was is plenty of time to get from Asheville, North Carolina to Knoxville, Tennessee. It's only like a 2-hour commute. We were up at 7, hungover as hell. I was like, ready to go. Let's do this. Go downstairs. My buddy Locus has locked his keys in his fucking car. And we didn't notice this all day on Friday because we were taking Ubers around town.
Mm.
We weren't driving. We were drinking, you know. We were trying to be responsible. Taking Ubers around town. And it took the AAA guy.
Because he just happens to have the kind of car that the AAA guy is like powerless against. He's like, I can't.
Yeah. Do. Yeah. So evidently, Toyota Avalons are notorious for being very difficult to break into. And the AAA guy keeps unlocking it. And the alarm system on the Toyota flips. Every time he unlocks it, it trips and it immediately locks it back.
Wow.
Yeah. We're just sitting there staring at him.
He's got a good car.
So how did he eventually get in? Like, how did... That's really, you know...
I don't know. It's timed right.
Like that?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, because, like, we were at the game and we got a text. And I was kind of expecting to get a text from Brad. Like, he'd show up at noonish as we were walking around Knoxville. Yeah. Which, by the way, is... It feels like a mini town. Does it feel like a real city? I'm like, I was waiting for the rest of it.
It's really small.
You look, and then they were just mountains, just like land.
Yeah, it's like, just sort of sparse. I mean,
it's like you have one building, and you call this building downtown.
Yeah, it's spread out, though. They got a lot of people everywhere.
Well, that's it. It's like 178,000 people there.
And they all live in the hills.
Yeah, they do. For comparison's sake, Denton has 120 or something like that, 113,000. But, like, Knoxville total has, like, about 1 million people around there, right? It's just a bunch of people all around doing who knows what.
Making moonshine,
probably, yeah. All right. And so, funny story that we had there. We got an Uber, and it was a dude who shows up, and it was fine.
Yeah, speaking of refunds.
Yeah, it seemed perfectly fine, as Ubers do. He's waving. And I see a face in the back seat. I was like, is this like a co-ride? Is he dropping somebody off, picking us up? As I'm walking up to the thing, he's like, Gina, are you the... So I look in the back and I see it's a little kid. It's a little black kid. The driver's like an old white dude. So those don't really usually go together, you know? They do sometimes go together. They don't usually go together. So I was like, okay. I quickly think, if we're going to get in this ride, one, it's getting kind of late. It's kind of cold. I don't know if we're going to get another Uber. It's Knoxville, like I said. Not a whole lot of Ubers out there at the time. And so then Janie gets in the front. I get in the back. Turns out there was another little black kid back there. Two little black kids back there. Now, the whole car smelled like...
Ass?
Smelled like ass. Had an assy smelling car, like
smelled
ass,
really bad.
A little bit of cigarettes, mostly ass. And like the one little kid is like playing on his phone, and the other little kid in the back is like a station wagon. It was like a Volvo thing.
Yeah, it was a Volvo.
I don't know what the hell he was doing back there, but I was just kind of like weird. And then he tried to like scare me, put on like a scream mask. He was like, "Oh, we scared the other Uber lady. She was screaming." And I was like, "What the fuck?" What the fuck? Anyway, so, like, Gina was, like, trying to figure out how to rate him. And what did you rate the guy?
I gave him a 3 out of 5. And
I think that's generous.
Yeah.
It is 2 stars.
I mean,
one for each child that you had in the seat.
He was friendly. He was talkative.
Yeah.
But it was really stinky. That was the worst thing. I was like, this car smelled horrible. Mm. And then he had 2 kids with him, which was just weird.
It is very weird.
So then I got like an email back from the Uber people like, we're so sorry. Your experience wasn't what you expected. We've refunded your ride. I was like,
oh,
wow.
Oh, because you can rate it and then you tell why, right?
Yeah. They're like, you know, sorry you didn't like your experience. What happened?
It's 3 out of 5.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I got him fired. Like, yeah, exactly. I wasn't even expecting them to ask that.
Well, that's
medium, like on the good side of medium.
Yeah, that's a whole other discussion. That basically, like, you know, if you don't get a 5 in Uber, if you average like a 4, then they'll like kick you out. Because like, 4 is an that's a whole other discussion.
Just want everybody
I fucking hate
satisfied.
Corporate like rating metrics and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
so, yeah. I mean, you're like, well, why even have 5? Why don't you just say, you know, great or fire the guy?
Yeah,
have,
right. Yes or no. Binary.
So good or is he fired?
Good or is he fired? Shoot him in the face right now. So, yeah, so they say like why, and Gina responded. She filled it out like, it was a couple kids and it stank. And now, see, this is the thing about Gina and myself. The weirdest part, the most off-putting part, wasn't the children, even though they were just, it was weird. It was the stink, because it smelled like ass.
Yeah. I couldn't even see out of the passenger's side of the windshield, because it was like fingerprints and smudges.
Gina's like, he's going to...
the whole window.
Would you say he's going to eat her bones?
Yeah, well, I thought he was going to, like, skin us or something. I thought he was really creepy. I was like, we're going to die tonight. Looking for a signal from the children. Are you safe?
Well, these are my children. That's
a lie.
So, I mean, like I said, so then I'm pretty sure the guy is going to get, he's not doing Uber right now. Thanks to us.
It was his first week.
Courtesy of the Deranged Thinking Podcast.
When we were just having small talk. So
maybe they give him like coaching or something like that.
Figure this out, dude.
Clean your car. Drive by yourself.
It would be like I think they said that was like a huge violation. It's like, obviously, you don't expect to have other people in the car.
I'm sure that's like their number one rule.
Never do that again, Del.
This is all, you know, like, you know, in a Uber world where you have guys that are like talking to you weird, like, welcome, you know. Would you like some water, please? You know, it's in the back. Would you like some gum? You know, they're trying to really give you an experience. And here's this other guy that's like, hey, here are my kids. It smells like ass. Everything's like dirty.
Welcome to Knoxville.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing is, like, you know, like you, I don't know. It really is just a ride share, right? If I just ask somebody for a ride. What the hell, Del? What are you doing?
Why can I hear you hearing yourself is the more important question.
I don't know. Del's messing with things over there. Yeah, he should have stayed in Portland.
He has his keys again.
So, it's just the fun part. Outside of that, like the 5 rides we took in Uber, that one was weird. The other 4 were great. It was fine.
So the old guy was great. On average, you 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which means everybody has to get fired.
Everybody, yep, we're shutting down.
Fire.
Go ahead, fellas. Pack it up.
You were weirded out by the lady taxi driver talking about, sexist over here, you weirdo.
It was just weird.
She was like, why is there a lady taxi driver?
I didn't say why. But it was like every other taxi we saw, they all had
equal opportunity
women
much.
Drivers. It just seemed like
it's fine. I gotta say, the best heckling that we got, I mean, North Texas is terrible. They went 1-11 this season, right? And they represented themselves well there. In Knoxville at Neyland, only lost 24-0. But you know, like the Knoxville, you know, they're all excited. It was homecoming, but they couldn't really get up for us. They're like, "This team sucks," and so they were just kind of waiting for their team to blow us out. They're like, "Well, at least they'll score like 50, 60 points. It'll be great." And then they didn't, so they were just kind of frustrated. Everybody just quiet. So the quarterback, DeMarcus Smith, had played there previously when he was at Western Kentucky, and he said, yeah, it was crazy loud, like the ground shook. And, you know, being on the first row, wasn't no ground shaking, no place, you know. It was pretty quiet. There was one guy tried to get real heckly, and he was like, hey, Tennessee was a school before Texas was a state, you know. And it was fun. That was a good one. But I looked back, and I was like, hey, Gina, that was the guy that was wearing a corduroy jacket and was, like, real fidgety on the plane.
Yeah, we saw him at the airport.
Yeah, so all I could respond back, because I didn't want the whole stadium to do anything to me. So I said, yeah, wearing corduroy is weird. Wearing corduroy jackets on a plane is weird. And he kind of looked, he's like, How did they know? And that was it. That was all of it.
Told him.
Yeah. I mean,
good exchange. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, there's nothing else to do. Yeah, it was
sort of a photo finish.
Hate.
I couldn't tell who won.
I don't know.
Well, I mean,
you'll never know. Yeah.
Here's the other thing too, is that like, I mean, North Texas as a fan base is real beaten down. We didn't get a whole lot of people going up there, and we're not going to be talking shit because, you know, up to that point, I think we hadn't won a game. So, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? So, you know, this is, you know, the SEC where you got, you know, rivalries and people passionate about it all the way through. So it's a little weird for them, I imagine. Here's a bunch of these guys coming up from North Texas, and they're just kind of like,
hey, we got a football team together. Y'all want to play?
Yeah, the receptionist is like, hey, look. When she saw me walking up with my North Texas gear on, she's like, hey, look, you found one. I didn't think they existed. A real North Texas fan. It was a good time. I got to say, you know what, Brad? That fried chicken that we had at that place, that wasn't that good, man.
No, it was fucking terrible.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Mid-South?
A break.
The best part.
I make better fried chicken than that place.
Yeah. They were supposed to have good fried chicken. It was not impressive. It was just chicken breast. They didn't even do, like, legs, wings.
I had better chicken breast at IHOP the other day when I had IHOP chicken and waffles. Pumpkin spice chicken and waffles. I'm not ashamed.
Better chicken breast.
I ain't ashamed of it. It's just weird.
Portland, man.
Dell?
Portland. Dell. Portland.
He said it three times. What was that about?
Yeah.
I liked it.
Was it because it was founded as a white, you know, racist enclave? Is that why?
Was it?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, Oregon was founded as a white utopia. I just found out recently. It was like coded into their state constitution.
That's crazy. No, it was cool, man. I was in the downtown area, but it's like there are like four main areas in Portland, or five. I don't know. But we were in like the metro area, and super easy to get around. But like, so it felt like a city. It felt like a big city, but you could walk around and walk across the street anywhere, or just stand on the curb anywhere waiting to cross the street, and the drivers would stop. They would stop for you to walk across the street, which I can only assume is either they're all stoned because weed is legal. And so they're like super mellow and just they're not in a hurry anywhere. Where they're assuming that everybody walking around is stoned and they don't want to hit them.
Yes.
And so, but it was awesome. The people were really nice. The beer was great. The coffee was killer. The food was amazing. It's a good experience, man. I want to go back there a lot.
I knew it. And when we were there, was it a year and a half ago? We were like, Dell would love this place. Dell's going to want to move here.
Yeah,
it's a Dell utopia.
It's
a
cool place. It's beautiful, and like the integration of like nature and city is like, it's like all right, or it's like really close to each other. You can just go get on a trail like right by the city. So,
I'm not a big trail guy. I kind of like being in civilization, but I was, that was another thing. I was like, no, Dell likes going out and where it's unsafe.
they got some nice outside.
I think we sent you to one place. I generally don't like reliving other people's, you know, time. Like, oh, if you go here, do everything I did. So we didn't want to give Dell too many recommendations, but we did suggest one place, and you said you went there?
Yeah, Burnside? It was the brewery. What is it called?
Burnside?
Yeah,
Burnside. Probably my favorite brewery that I went to, and the food was ridiculously good there, too. I had a ceviche salad. Not ceviche.
Did you try the fried cheese curds?
We had fried cheese curds.
I did not.
Damn it. Why didn't you follow the recommendation?
they didn't recommend that.
Yeah, we did. I mean, I think the thing about when we went there, we were kind of, because that was after L.A. and San Francisco and a long drive. And we were getting to the point where we were tired of eating out already. Mm-hmm. But we were still eating more stuff. Like, I remember being at that place, like, this would be even better if I were tired of eating out already.
Right.
Another note about like people like on bikes and walking and stuff. I think that just like a North West kind of thing, because it was like that in Portland. We, you know, you walk around, like you said, that was, it's very true. In a lot of the parts, not all the parts, because where we stayed at that hotel thing, it's not very walkable. Yeah. Then you get to Seattle, and most of the drivers are kind of pissed. They're like, all these fucking bikers. Everybody on a fucking bike, they think they own a fucking road, man. You know, and they're just like, I was like, all right, Uber dude. Oh. So
really? That was the Uber driver there?
Yeah. So they stop for you, and the taxi cab guys especially. So they stop for you. He was probably cursing at you as you were walking by.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking stoned ass motherfucker.
Respect.
Yeah. Maybe so.
Yeah, cool. we had a lot of beer there.
Oh. Crazy, like, it was this weird mixture of, like, really nice areas, and then, like, you turn a corner, and it's, like, super city, seedy. For like just like three places, and then like super nice again. It's like all juxtaposed next to each other.
Yeah,
it was cool.
So a lot of bridges. Did you see a lot of the bridges?
Saw a few. I went across two of them. I saw a few of them.
Did you go to the Stumptown Coffee Company place?
I didn't go to Stumptown just because I have Stumptown all over the place. You know, like they sell it in Denton and. Yeah. Places. I like
they're
it.
Like, they got it's bought. Good. They're commercial now.
Yeah. But I went to, there's a, one of my favorite restaurants in Phoenix. I served coffee from a micro roaster.
It's pronounced Phoenix, but yeah, go ahead.
In Portland. So I went there. It was like right by the hotel. So I went there and had some coffee there. Heart coffee. It was great.
Hot coffee. All right. So yeah, good. So when are you returning to your people's?
If I can get a job out there, I'll go.
I think the only thing, though, is I don't think they'll let you live there, considering you cannot grow a beard. It's going to take you like 5 years to grow a beard.
That is one of the requirements.
I better start working on that. The other cool thing.
He needs a beard.
The upside of not being able to grow a beard is you know, it's less competition.
That's true.
Like, chick, you know, because some chicks hate beards.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about all those dudes with beards.
Cornered for that. Yeah. Exactly.
Cornered.
Yeah.
Cornered.
The wench like, well, I mean, is it really? Is that what like this is going to be? Just the beardless guy? That's what's going to bring them out.
Probably.
That's the only one. Are you sure?
God damn it!
Here we go. Just gonna fuck this guy.
The coolest thing was that a friend of mine from Denton. Chris Beard, actually, his last name's Beard, speaking of, is living out there. His wife is doing residency out there, and he's working at a winery, so he came over and hung out, and so it was literally like being in a modified, upgraded Denton, you know?
So we contended previously that Portland is like a grown-up Denton, like it's just like adults. It's like in Denton, you see, you know, 20s, maybe early 30s, and then like a sprinkling of late 30s. It was mostly Dell. Dell brought that population up. Dell was 55 walking around like, hey, young kids, anybody want to have a beer? So when you were in Portland, did you feel like you were among people, senior citizens, your own age there?
Yes. Yeah, I agree with you. That feels like a grown-up Denton. Nah. Like at Burnside.
Why are you pronouncing Denton like that now?
I was pronouncing it like that just for effect right now.
I feel like he's converting over there. I don't trust him anymore.
At Burnside, at Burnside, this dude turns to me, and we just start talking about the beer, and he's like a cool guy from Denton, like somebody from Denton, and that would just start a conversation with, and he's telling me about these other places I should check out, and but he was like my age. He's like, how old are you? You're like in your 30s, right? And I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, me too, man. And we're just like, it's like my girlfriend's out of town this weekend, and like, and it was awesome.
Wait, did you guys have gay sex time? Is that what you're
saying? I talked to the bartender. That
sounds
about,
like a meet cute there, right?
About going out. They go out and pick mushrooms out there, like for eating. Like
heard of this?
Yeah,
it's heard awesome of this dude. Practice. And I like mushrooms, but that shit sounds terrifying.
I would do it.
Hey Brad, you want to go out in the woods and go get some mushrooms that have not been checked by anybody,
and then eat them? Mushrooms.
Found mushrooms.
No, thanks.
Also, I found a loaf of bread out in the woods too.
There's a limit that like you can get. You can only get like 1 pound a year or something. Like, of certain.
Who's
types.
Checking that? Who's checking
They're,
that?
The state patrol pulls people over.
Just really? Yeah.
He said
that sounds like fungus. Anyway,
that's that sounds like it really it's way more effort endangered? Than is worth. A fucking
I think
mushroom.
It'd be an enjoyable way to spend a day. Is
well, sure, okay. Yeah, sure. I wouldn't. I don't. Everybody likes being outside. I'll go outside in the park. I'm not gonna go try to forage for food. Get checked by the state trooper. I'm not gonna do all that. It'd be fine. I'm gonna go play soccer. I'll just kick the ball around. It'd be fine. I'll go home. It'd be fine. It'd be done. Swing by the Whole Foods, you know, get where nobody stops and checks me.
How much shit did you buy from the Whole Foods, sir?
So, I mean, just fucking. I want to make a sandwich. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you like pork. I'm glad that you finally took our suggestion and went there.
It was a serendipitous opportunity.
I'm glad that the only reason that you went to Portland was because we told you to. That was great.
That
feels great. How did you find Knoxville, Bradley?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think Knoxville's
there wasn't
all right.
There wasn't a university there. I don't really see a whole lot of people. White people would be there. I was waiting for something.
I understand why my buddy lives in Knoxville. And I think it's pretty. With like the rolling hills and stuff, but I'm not blown away by Knoxville as a city.
No,
it's just
if you go there, it's because you like to be in a college town. That's really what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like any other college town to me, with a little bit better scenery. Yeah. You know,
it's hard to walk. Walking up them damn hills all the damn time. It's like, fuck, man. I fucking climb a hill to get breakfast.
How are we going up again?
Yeah. How's the hotel up a hill? Cafe's up another hill. What the hell is this? What the hell is this mess? Yeah, I did. That was me. I did that.
I got you.
Been saving that one for 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah, you've been working a lot.
I don't get it.
So, how was everybody's Thanksgiving? Did you fry a turkey this year, Brad?
I did not.
Did anybody cook a turkey?
Thanksgiving.
I cooked a turkey.
Thanks.
How did you like Thanksgiving time?
Lauren does the heavy lifting with regard to most
now,
of cooking
who is
for the
Lauren?
Park family.
You mention that name often. Who's Lauren?
Lauren is my wife. She is the person who is air quotes wife. She is the person who has decided to put up with my bullshit indefinitely.
Sounds like a parole officer.
Brave person.
I feel like
brave,
it's a parole officer.
Brave person.
She does most of the heavy lifting with regard to the food. For the Polk family anyway, and Thanksgiving is no different.
Do you at least go out and find some mushrooms for her?
I try to forage for food as often as possible. I live in the suburbs, so I'm in the city. But it feels like suburbs, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been there too.
Yeah. So what'd y'all eat?
So she did sides. A couple who just had a kid like 6 days ago, or at that point in time, 6 days ago, came over, and the husband just felt compelled to bring something. So I was like, listen, why don't you go ahead and just knock out the turkey? just go ahead, take all the responsibility. Go ahead and do that for me. That'd be great. Maybe I could just sleep in. You know, have fun with that newborn while you're at it. So,
was it a solid turkey? Did he come through with that?
Yeah, man. He did a great job. It was a good turkey.
When you only have one thing, it's good. Yeah, see?
You can't screw it up.
Eli Whitney, right? Specialization guys, right? You know? Man?
I don't know who Eli Whitney is.
He invented the cotton gin.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Let's go spread solid. So not a whole, like last year you had like your mom and things over, right? This year nothing?
It was a pretty modest crew. I mean, it was just 4 adults, 3 children. One of them was brand new. So... not a lot of people eating. No. I mean, we ate. We chilled out. Nothing crazy. What about y'all?
Del, I saw that you had like every person in town that looked like you had the whole town there. They're all related to you?
Yeah, there's my whole about half of my whole family.
Jeez.
How many folks?
Yeah. 29? 22?
How many turkeys did you have?
2 turkeys and a ham. My dad cooked them all. Oh. Well, my dad and my brother.
Did you cook anything?
I made the sweet potato casserole and half of the cornbread dressing.
How many people died because of that?
Only three this year. We're getting better.
We're sub 20 at this point. Yeah. Pretty good.
Luckily, the cousins are all having kids now, and so with each other, of course, because it's you know, small town Mississippi. And yeah, and so they're adding. We lost three, but we gained four this year so far. I think two or three more on the way.
They're still over 20.
Hang on. Okay. Right.
Well,
you gotta do better next time.
Yeah, I'll try, man.
So what's that like? I mean, did y'all have it? Can y'all fit in that house there? 29 people? You have like 29
well,
person
everybody
table?
Didn't stay here. I mean, you know, like we live on a farm that has, but like there are houses all within about a quarter mile of each other that are all family members. And so people were all over the place. Okay. So my house, the house that I am staying in, there are four beds. So my brother is all my immediate family.
Yeah,
could all
fit
here.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering. So, like, you didn't have like Thanksgiving dinner with 30 people gathered around a big 30-person table. Yeah, because that would have been impressive.
Like, three was around like some 30-foot, you know, 30-yard long table.
Hey, he.
Yeah. No.
Stay away from the super table casserole. That was Dell's.
16. And then there were people spread out in other places.
Okay, that's cool.
16 is still a lot of people to eat under one roof.
Yeah, even that's a lot. Jeez.
God. I think we should have told our stories in Dell, Brad, and then us order by attendance.
Yeah, number. Like ours, how many people were at ours?
Two.
Sweet. It was great. The best fucking kind.
It was wonderful.
We always, you know, we said this before on previous episodes. We, like, rotate it. Right, we'll either do like a, we'll go somewhere, and those are the worst because I always get like sick on a plane because everybody is traveling, they're coughing in your face, and so yeah. So this year we're not. We stayed in, and you know we kept our little thing here. It was great.
What did you do that day?
I don't even know what I did. I think did I even have Fallout 4 yet? No, I just watched football. Watch a lot of football.
And you played FIFA.
Played some FIFA. FIFA, watch football. Two things.
Sounds like a pretty good day. Gina?
I cooked. I made a turkey and mashed potatoes and sweet potato casserole and collard greens and homemade cranberry sauce.
That was good. That was so good.
Wow.
Cornbread dressing and giblet
that
gravy.
Okay. That was right.
And was that all? Fruit salad.
Yeah, that's not my favorite.
Is it? And before we ate the meal, like while I was prepping that, I made cherry and strawberry turnovers, and then deviled eggs. That's everything I made.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. Sort of jealous, but doesn't that? I mean, isn't that a little bit much for two people?
Yeah, there's like still leftovers, and I wanted to eat more, but then like Gina was like, "No, I'm not making it. I'm not preparing any more of that because I'm tired of it."
We had a taste of everything, you know.
Yeah.
Like, if everything you could want in your mouth,
it was good.
You could put it in. Your
it was
mouth.
Good. I was so. Yeah. I mean, like I was so full, and you know, whatever.
We ate it through Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's still leftovers, but
I mean, and that's the thing is that like I think the only thing that was weird this time or like different is it because usually, like people start making the rounds and like we'll get some people so they'll help
they'll
eat
come
it
eat leftovers.
But yeah, I think it was different because I think some people were sick and it was
Last year my cousin and their family came by.
Yeah.
But this year they have a new baby,
so they didn't.
So
they were not
going to
come. And then and then like my uncle was sick. They were just like, weird. So nobody wanted to go anywhere.
To anyone else's
and get
house.
Anybody else sick.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, happy Thanksgiving over there. I see you all the damn
just
time.
Just don't get in my face. Just stay the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Yeah. I mean, we used to, like, in San Antonio, it was by my urge when we were, like, younger. Like, rotate them, like, the bowl games. Like, you remember how, like, the Rose Bowl used to hold the national championship? And then next year, it was like, we used to do that. Stuff. We'd have, so somebody, you know, would host the actual day of Thanksgiving. But then we do like Wednesday, then there was the actual Thanksgiving, and there was like a Friday one too, where people just kind of hosted a meal. Everybody would just go to their house. That's a lot of work. And so they don't last a couple of years that they did that. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Thanksgiving, a lot of food.
Then everybody would get judged.
Yeah, I know. That's what happened. Meals. I was judging. I'm not going to lie. There may be some aunts this that didn't make very good. It's like, this is what you call a pie. This is what you fucking call a pie right here.
I didn't make the pies, though. I made everything the meal.
Did you buy pies?
I bought pies. I bought a pumpkin pie.
That's the way to do it, man. I'm all about, like, home cooking. I'm perfectly fine with buying a store pie.
I wasn't feeling all that cooking.
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
Do you make pies? Have you ever done pastries?
You only get the one oven. You can't. That's
not pie crust, generally. But, yeah, pie crusts are hard to make, man.
I've eaten pie crust.
Like, I made the turnovers, but I didn't make the pastry dough. I bought, you know, like the flat frozen kind that you let it thaw out and cut it and everything. Yeah.
You didn't forage for mushrooms?
No, I didn't forage for mushrooms.
All right, let's get a nice update to the Deranged Penguin Fantasy Football League.
I can handle that this week.
Yeah. I just want to say, go fuck yourself, Dale. Can we say that? Can we say that on here?
Be open with
that. I fell precipitously
in the playoffs.
Take it back.
I fell real far. Man, Golden State won again. God, they're just fucking dominant. 20 in a row. Just throwing that out there. So here's the thing: I went on a 5-game losing streak, partly because Le'Veon Bell, my number one draft pick, injured for the season, and then I think my number three injured for the season. And then I went ahead and picked up Tony Romo. And just because I was feeling thankful, right, on Thanksgiving, I started him instead of either Matthew Stafford or Phillip Rivers. And and Tony Romo ended up with -3, and the other guys had 40. So that it was a combination of bad luck and ineptitude, and that was my one ineptitude there. And that's fine. That's fine because this is all about last place. But we'll go down the list. Eat my jorts. Mr. Rudy Mambrosa, just 2 seasons ago, occupied the last place. Now he's over here in first right now, 9-3.
Damn you, Rudy.
Also tied for first place, but second for some reason. I think it's just a tiebreaker game to play. Was it football? Is a flat sphere? Mr. Delular Smith.
Delular.
Also 9-3.
Delular Wireless.
Yeah. Tied for third is a man who probably needs a lot of introduction because nobody knows who he is. Mr. Bradford Paulk. Look at him out here. Mr. Can't Ride a Bus himself.
That's right.
The leading scorer in the league.
That's right.
But only 8-4. And then friend of the show, longtime friend of the show, Nick Dubberly out here only scoring. He's 8-4, but he's a 1,300. He's a third leading scorer.
Yeah, he's doing good.
Yeah, yeah. Sneaking his way. We had an epic battle where he beat me by one. It was 58-57, and that pretty much sealed it. I'm not going to make the playoffs because of this, thanks to that loss, really. Even if I won, I'm going to be fifth. You know what?
Good job,
I hate everybody. It's fine.
I had a tie game. Did you really? 98-98, and it gave me the win because I guess my bench scored more points.
Bench scoring.
I had one of those myself.
So, and then number five, by his lonesome, Big Daddy Num Num, who began the season near the bottom, went on a run, mostly thanks to everybody's best players getting injured. He's still the lowest scorer besides his wife, Texas Hotness. But we'll get to that in a second. And then me, Dead Star. 6-6. Started out great.
What about the O-Town Chokey Chickens? What happened to those
guys?
We'll
get in a second. Tied for seventh.
We're almost there.
Tied for seventh. 8 elite QB, 5-7. Now, he's nothing really to say about that. He's been putting up 5-7 type scores. Mr. Baker over there. Then Timo Choa, Mr. Generic himself, 5-7 also. I can get think of a name guy. And then the O-Town Chokey Chickens.
Choke it.
Also tied for seventh, 5-7. Way down there. You want to explain yourself, former champ?
Well, guys, you know, the team came out and we played really hard, but we had a lot of shitty players this season and a lot of injuries. Had to pick up a lot of useless people off the bench and just didn't pan out.
All right. And then we have, was it Hollywood Mavericks? Brother Chaka, that's what we call him here. Brother Chuck, also 5-7, not really making an impact, not really doing much. He did beat me once, and then that was it. And then Mr. Hubris himself, Menchocalypse, went out to Belize, that's what I hear, this week on his honeymoon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3-9.
Bringing so up, he might not be paying attention.
That's why his head was not in the game.
No, no, he was losing a lot before this week. It's not like this week
he
went 3-9.
Getting married.
There's a lot of losing. He did. Yeah.
God, he had 12 games this week.
Serious week.
But in last place, here's the deal. Here's our breakdown because this is week 13, right? The final regular season week. Texas Hotness, Gina's sister over here. Basically, it needs a win. And I think she plays Mr. Bradford West Polk over here.
The worst case scenario. If I scored half of what I'm supposed to score, I will still win.
Mm-hmm. It seems like that.
You're confident is what you're
if
saying.
If she wins.
Feel confident.
This is really all we're playing for. If she wins, then she gets to tie Trey, if Trey loses. And I think Trey plays, I don't even know who he plays.
And then the tiebreaker would be what?
We're going to go by precedent, right? Legal precedent. Last season, actually, Brad, we were like, should we even deal with the tiebreakers? Or is the more the merrier? And yeah, we decided more is the merrier. Yeah, it's more fun seeing more people do the punishment. So,
yeah.
There's no tiebreakers at the bottom of the league. You're just all sucky.
So, if she wins and Trey loses,
then we have two. If not, well, you know, we just have the one.
Is there a downside for me sitting everybody?
Well, we won't do that. We'll keep the competition up and whatever and all that other good stuff. You can try to win. I think the other thing that we're looking at is the final place here. And so basically, depending on tiebreakers, because this is where it actually matters, if Brad were to lose or Dub Mediocrity were to lose and Big Daddy Num Num were to win, one of those two is going to drop out of the playoffs and Big Daddy Num Num is going to jump in there. So you have an incentive to play because although you're the highest scoring guy, that'd you're barely good. There. Yeah.
And I got to keep the trophy in house.
Oh, well, I think Dell's saying that he's going to do all that. So.
What's that?
Yeah.
Trophy.
Yeah. Dell's trying to win. I mean, usually Dell doesn't even make the playoffs.
Who's making the trophy for me?
I didn't completely quit trying after about 6 weeks when I realized I wasn't being last place this time. Usually what happens is I start forgetting to set my lineup, and then I have four people in a bye or something like that, or two of my players get injured.
I can tell you right now that's a fun way of retconning everything that happened, but it's not really what happened. You tried and didn't work. It's fine.
No.
It's fine. It's okay to try and fail.
It's okay
to look for the mushroom out there and not get it, you know? It's fine.
Get enough to get not last, safely out of last, and then coast. Yeah. Let it ride.
Mm-hmm. So that's fine. That's what we have to look forward to this weekend. And don't forget, if you win, you get a prize. And if you lose, you get punished. Punish.
I feel like there's a good chance I'm going to take first this week.
You think so?
First?
Who do you play this week?
Huh?
Who do you play this week?
I play Ochoa.
You're going to put together a 10-win season.
Sir. This guy. He's trying to get
good.
Some bowl game right here.
It's very good. It's been a horrible season. I hate you.
Everybody's injured, but I think I can do it.
So, the fun thing that happened say, like, you know, so I do the Mean Green Nation podcast, right? Fun thing that happened was, like, one of the best players on the team, like, he's one of the all-time leading receivers in program history. He's, like, second all-time. So, team's trying to drive against UTEP, and UTEP sucked. It was like a dirt bowl. Like, both were trying to lose the game, and I think it was best summed up by my internet friend saying, it feels like both teams are losing this game. And it did, because Gina asked me, she was like, hey, are we winning? And I immediately wanted to just say, yes, we're losing badly. And I looked at the score, I was like, oh, actually, we're winning by four. But it didn't feel like that, you know? Like, it looked, it felt, sometimes you're like, how could we win when we turned the ball over like five times, you know? Punted eight times, you know?
Yeah.
It looked horrible. Anyway, so they're driving at the end. Quarterback, you know, scrambles, runs like 25, 30 yards. And the receiver just lays this dude out, and then he gets a targeting penalty, right? And it was kind of iffy, you know. He hit him in the chest and whatever. They get it out, and he was like, fine, deuce. And he was like, all right, I'm out. And he walks out. And it was like, that was so classless. It was awful and whatever. And it's just a culmination of things. It was like, he's a terrible teammate and blah, blah, blah. Now, I've been hearing this all season. I'm asking you guys, do you care, like, how good a teammate the players are that you're watching on your football team, your favorite football team? And, like, to what level? If they're out there murdering people, yeah, you're like, all right, maybe you shouldn't do that.
That doesn't make them a bad teammate, though.
It does. Maybe he's murdering. They're,
maybe he might be a really good
I've been
good
hearing
teammate.
This the whole time. I've been hearing, they're like, you know, because people are like, oh, he's a bad DM and stuff. He's a bad teammate, you don't know. But they never give me any specifics. And so I'm like, was it what? What is it? They're like, well, he's like, in practice, he's like demanding the ball. I was like, so? Like, what?
I don't know. I don't think it matters a whole lot. I mean, I don't want somebody to be a little bitch.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, one, I just think from an organization perspective. You guys have been part of a large organizations, right?
Yeah.
What percentage of those people were assholes?
What?
Yeah. And so I was like, you know, even successful ones, they're just a lot quieter because everybody's succeeding. Now, a lot of times you don't really encounter bad organizations, like not to a level. There's not really an equivalent of a 1-11 football team pharmacy, right? I mean, like,
no, that's, no.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, yeah. So you don't really get like 1-1, but you know, maybe it's not so great. And then you hear people complaining, like, you know, maybe your retail store is not really doing well. And so, you know, people are like, you know, the stock guy's like, oh, well, you know, I would do it this way. He starts voicing his opinion. People start arguing. My point is that it's not unusual. So I think it's ridiculous when people, you know, like point out the 22-year-old kids. Like, oh, he's a big pro. We got to get him out of the locker room. He's a cancer. Like, dude, he's probably just frustrated that they're losing every week, you know?
He's probably just frustrated because they're going to be some pussy in like 2 weeks.
Well, that too, because they're like, get away from me, 1-11 wide receiver on the football team.
Seriously?
Like, no. Yeah.
It's like, fuck. They want the receiver work. That's pulling in like 200 yards a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But toxic people do create toxic environments and does affect like morale and gameplay and stuff. Like, it's a true phenomenon. And yeah. I'm not a fan of, like, people – I'm not a fan of super winning teams. Like, if you have a superstar on your team and your whole team is winning and that superstar, like, lording it over and acting, you know, like he's big something, I don't like that. I'd rather get rid of somebody like that on my team.
Yeah.
So
– what's the equivalent, like, in church? Is, like, the preacher just like, man – and raking in these souls for Christ right now, man. Like, I don't know, like, what is it?
Look at this fucking heap of souls I got back here, man.
Like, fucking raking them in, bro. Check the scoreboard.
Like, so, like, we had a church musician who was he was a decent musician. He wasn't amazing, but he thought that he was, and he acted like he was, and every Sunday was like a concert, not really a worship service. And I can't deal with this guy. I can't work with him at all because his motivation.
So wait, yeah, like playing like a hymn, and he just like sprinkles in a little solo in there.
Well, it's like,
God is an awesome God.
It wasn't even that. It was just everything about him. It's different in a church though, like because, I don't know how it would be like what would the equivalent would be in a church.
I guess it would be like a superstar pastor that's like super famous and he acts like a total ass to his whole staff, you know, and like expects special treatment and stuff. Like the weird thing about church work is you're supposed to be a servant. Like you're supposed to be the top person is supposed to be the most humble servant, you know? So it's this paradox. That's not always the way it is, of course, but
yeah. All right, what do you think, Gina? Like, I mean, have you experienced the toxic person in a winning or losing organizational environment?
I'm trying to think. Maybe I've had a boss that I felt was like that, like kind of a toxic person, but it wasn't like work related. So they were just bringing, you know, crap into work.
See, and
that made it an annoying environment to be in.
I mean, and you know, we talk a lot about like management and business and running organizations here on this podcast for whatever fucking reason. But I think there's a difference, and I thought it was like, you know, because obviously those things are right. Like you're right, Dale. Toxic people do create toxic environments, right? Even successful toxic people, right? I mean, that was the thing about T.O. all the time, right? He was like, yeah, he's like a shit ton of touchdowns, but. You know, it's kind of nice when he's not on the team. You don't got to deal with all that all the time. In this particular case, I mean, this kid was like, fine. He's getting in trouble with the law. There's nothing really. It was really just internal. Like, he's just really demanding of the ball in practice, which I thought was ridiculous. It was like the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. And I couldn't imagine, like, the equivalent of that, like, at my job. It's like, just a dude that's really good. But he really wants more work, and then we're just mad at him for it. I don't I just didn't get it. That was weird.
I don't know. I mean, maybe he's just an asshole.
I mean, that was maybe.
And we've worked with people who are just assholes.
That's what I say. I think losing situations, right? Again, so losing money. Stores losing money, right? The pharmacies, I don't know what, killing patients. I don't know what you guys do there.
Church. We kill people.
Devil's winning over there, right? Devil's racking it up. He's on the other side, like, man, got all these, you know, souls in mind now, right? Flames are burning higher and whatnot. And so you're like, yeah, well, and people pointing fingers. That is normal. And then that's when, like, people, you know, that's when all the bad stuff happens. So I think it's stupid when they're.
So, Del, if you had to envision a scoreboard.
I can see this has been fascinating, Brad, ever since we brought it up. He's like,
no, I just thought about this. Like, and you looked up, and like one side of the scoreboard is like the devil's points, and one side of the scoreboard is Jesus' points. And the points are souls. Is it, I mean, do you foresee the ticker going up on both sides? Like they're each getting like, they like, you know, like Jesus like pulls up for a three and he's like, I got three souls on that one, son. But does his number go up three, and at that point in time, the devil's number goes down three? Or are both of them capable of increasing their number indefinitely?
Do you want me to give you a real answer, or do you want me to give you a jokey answer?
Like, I'm just saying, do you in this scenario, do you see the number going from the devil's number over to Jesus' number? Or do you think that both of their numbers are going to climb?
I think that there's not a game. Like, the game is over. That's the thing. The devil doesn't know it, but the game's been over for a long time.
Well, here it is. You know what it is, Brad, to answer your question? It's more like Hungry Hungry Hippos than it is like basketball. You know, there's not a time limit. Like, there are a number of balls in the game, and they're trying to scoop them up, right?
Right, but some people envision more like all souls as being claimed by the devil unless they are saved. And that's sort of why I was thinking. I didn't know like how you visualize that scenario.
So yeah, Dale's like, no, it's already done. Game set already over. We're not even playing Hungry Hippos.
There's a
you're a Calvinist, is that what it is, Dale?
There's a point of view that Jesus came to save everybody and that God wants to reconcile all things to himself and that if God wants that to happen, that God's will is ultimately done. And so all people will be reconciled to him. The devil doesn't win, though. Even if he gets soul, even if like people don't become Christians or whatever, like that's not really a point for the devil. Maybe in his mind it is, but it's not. You know, so that's like where I'm like, he's playing a different game. He doesn't know that he's lost the game. He's still trying to play something, you know? I think he does know that he lost, but whatever.
Maybe we should ask the Pope when he swung through, right? Yeah. When I was in there in Washington, I was like, hey, Pope, let me ask you. You ever played Hungry Hungry Hippos?
Hungry?
It's like...
You want the sandwich?
I mean, on God's scoreboard, the scoreboard is final. He already knows. God already knows the final score, whatever that sideways means. You know? Like, and Satan doesn't know the score. You know?
Del, can I just stop you? Because I'm too
far away.
Because I feel like Brad's making you just give the most convoluted sermon that, you know, has ever been given. Yeah, now, folks, if you imagine God has a scoreboard, okay? Now, let me tell you, the devil thinks he's scoring points, but he is not scoring points.
I'm trying to accommodate Brad and not, like,
I'm trying to, I get it. And
not,
I think,
like,
Brad's putting you in an awkward position, and I'm trying to save you here, man. The good Lord can shoot a three. Let me tell you. The good Lord can shoot a three. He is Stephen Curry out here. Anyway, so
it doesn't really work. It doesn't really work.
Yeah, it's not used.
So speaking of the Pope,
yeah, that sermon that you had, the God scoreboard. Let's maybe crunch that one up. Put that in a waste paper basket.
How's your second trimester going?
What?
It's all right. I've got round ligament pains.
What?
And, but other than that, I'm good, you know.
Okay.
What was about the Pope?
Speaking of the Pope.
Pope shit in the woods.
Speaking of the Pope.
I think he would. Right on the mushrooms. speaking of the Pope.
Make it Pope.
We saw Spotlight.
Spotlight.
Yesterday?
Neon light. Yeah. Movie.
Was that yesterday?
It was Monday.
Monday.
Yeah, we saw it Monday.
Monday.
Spotlight.
No, that wasn't Monday.
Yeah, we saw it Monday.
It was Monday.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a good movie. Recommend it.
Spotlight.
If you haven't heard of it.
Neonlight.
It's about the scandal in the Catholic Church with the priests, specifically in Boston.
What with the child molesting and
what
whatnot.
With.
And whatnot.
And about the Spotlight news reporting team for the Globe that, you know, covered the story.
You sound a little bit like Del trying to explain God's scoreboard.
Yeah.
And the hippo scoreboard.
So, what it is.
Yeah. So, what did you think of it? Was it good?
You.
Why should we see it?
I think that's what I opened with.
Why should we see it?
I'm out.
What other movie did you think that we should see?
The Visit.
Star Wars.
If you haven't seen that, I recommend it.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, couldn't have guessed that by the title.
It's good. It's good. It's funny and scary.
Funny.
That's good.
And scary. I don't. You know, some people rated it. They're like, ugh, this is not that great. It's just not a bad M. Night Shyamalan movie. I disagree. It was enjoyable, as Gina said. Funny and scary.
And we saw
scary,
like, the dollar movie.
Funny.
Which isn't just a dollar, but we paid like $3.50 to get in.
Yeah, for the both
of us.
You
beat that with a stick.
It's amazing.
I know. I thought it was a mistake.
Yeah. And then, you know, as
and
you
And then
are
spent like
to do,
$25 at the concession stand.
Yeah, because you're like, we only spent $3.50. Let's spend all the money and buy everything they have back there.
Yeah.
You feel like that, and that's how they get you. Because, you know, like, normally you go and you spend, you know, like, you sign a mortgage, right, to get into the movie.
Right.
And then you're like, well, we're going to get the small-ass popcorn.
Can't afford it.
And we're drinking from the water fountain, right? But then, you go this one, you're like, well, give me the gallon of drink, you know?
Oh, my gosh. We ordered a medium drink. He ordered
a
medium drink.
It had a handle on it.
Yeah.
It was huge.
It was basically a big giant Gatorade cooler.
It was so big.
It's a 5-gallon bucket from Home Depot.
He looked like a toddler holding
it. Yeah, I was like, oh.
Like, that's ridiculous. They're ridiculous with drinks. Food gets smaller, cups get bigger. I don't understand.
Yeah, I guess because it's cheap. They're like, we'll give these,
fuckers. I don't need a vat of syrup water. Thank you.
I could have fell in. I could have fell in and drowned.
You could have. It's a hazard.
I could have died.
It's dangerous.
Yeah. That's the thing is, like, I don't even know how you drink all that. It's my point. I was like,
You shouldn't.
I was thinking, you know, I felt like I just got it because I drank the equivalent. I probably drank too much, but I only drank
5 cups.
Yeah, I only drank just a tiny portion, like maybe half an inch off the top. I don't even know how you measure that in volume. But that was probably 4 gallons, you know? Given the fact. The cup felt full, but I probably drank a truckload of, drink.
Did. Of drink. God. That's exactly what it was. It wasn't something nutritious. It was drink.
Try some drink. But is this good for me? Is it going to help me grow a big and strong dad?
Nope.
No.
You may get cancer.
Might lose a foot if you're lucky.
Wait, how old are your chirins?
1.5 and 3.5.
What? Because we just read today about Jim Gaffigan traveling cross country. One, he lives in a 2-bedroom apartment in New York
with his five
children.
Sounds terrible.
What?
Sounds terrible for the children.
Yeah. So,
but they probably love it.
He says he travels all through the country.
I feel like they'd be all laying with his children.
Yeah. Could you travel with your 2 children regularly?
If I traveled like Jim Gaffigan, I could.
Like when in
wallet?
First class.
Yeah, like in first class on planes. And, like, I'm sure they have, like, a bus.
Yeah, you rented a bus.
Yeah, or like a mini bus or something. Yeah, I could totally travel like that with my kids. I mean, my kids are awesome. Most days.
Says you.
Yeah. But I couldn't do a car. They're not old enough.
Here's one thing, Brett. I don't know if this happened to you.
They're not old enough, man.
I got this is a stab at future parenthood, impending parenthood.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking the other day. I didn't realize that I always looked like towards the future. Right? I was like, one day we got planned for, you know, retirement, whatever. Blah blah blah. But I was just thinking. I was like, well, like 10 years. You know, you kind of think like 10 years from now I'll be, what, you know, 30, 40, 50, whatever the age it is.
Yeah.
But then I was just thinking, in 10 years, my kid's only going to be 9. Like, I can't die, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just thinking how I felt trapped. Like, I can't die. Like, what the fuck, man? Nope. What if I wanted to die? I can't even die. Like, nope. You know, like, just say right now, for sake of argument. Just want to do a little murder suicide, right? Just, you know, spur of the moment murder suicide. It'd be tragic, but they're like, well, you know, okay, that's it. But add a kid in, then they're like, and they left behind their child. And they're like, what a dick, you know?
Yeah, even in death, they're cussing you.
Yeah, it's like, fuck. So, I mean, you know, obviously I'm not going to do murder suicide right now. Right now, maybe later, but
because I'm going to.
Yeah, but then same thing. Like, you know, if I died tragically in a car wreck, or maybe comically in a car wreck, whatever. I died adjectively in a car wreck.
Yeah.
Then anywhere in the next like 20 years, it's going to be traumatic for the kid. He's going to have one of those stories like, "Oh, my dad died when I was 15." Like, I have to live. At least, I mean, I don't know, what's a decent
forever.
Time for me to die?
Forever.
When can I die? Yeah,
forever.
Forever.
You're trapped. Sorry.
What the fuck? Can't die.
Start getting your vampire on, man.
Yeah.
For the first time in my life, I was frustrated by the fact that I can't die for like the next 30, 40 years.
Longer than that.
I know, it's ridiculous.
That would be way too soon. Then you're going to miss their adult milestones.
I know, they're like, oh, and then I got married and I had a kid and I wish my dad was around for it. Like, oh, what the hell? Fuck.
So pissed off about something 40 years away.
Well, that I have to, like, I just got scheduled in, penciled in for 40 years from now. I got to be there for something happening. A 10-year-old grandkid or something. God. Talk about a burden on my life is what I'm saying.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. It's the thing I never thought about.
Like a burden.
Brad, did you ever feel that burden?
No. I felt other burdens, but I haven't felt the one about death. That.
Yeah. Well, like, what other burden? Like, you got to pay for it or whatever?
You're dead.
See, I think
you don't have to worry about stuff like that anymore.
No, because then I feel like it's unfinished. Like, I don't feel like I'm gonna end up haunting something because I'm like, oh fuck, I wasn't there.
Trying to find one person that can hear you.
Yeah, like can you please tell them that I didn't mean to die? I didn't mean to die. I know I said, God, please take me now, but I didn't really mean it. I'm just saying. Yeah.
It's just a joke.
Nobody's gonna.
I know it's a shitty joke.
Yeah. Yeah, and the kid's gonna be sad and whatever. I don't even know how to haunt. What are you concerned about? Like paying for the kids? I guess is that what it is?
Yeah.
College.
I mean, I think that's a big part of it. Paying for being able to.
I hear in Portland they let you forage for mushrooms. There it is. Oh. Groceries are done.
It's good.
Taken care of. Done.
Awesome.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts like that?
Being able to teach him enough. I mean, I don't know.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I know. Look, here's it. I know that.
It's overrated.
Yeah. I know that whatever I teach them now, let's say 50 to 75% of that is going to be useless going forward. Like actual facts and figures. They spend a lot of time and public money teaching me to do a decimal system. Fucking useless. I didn't use that shit.
Try teaching history. It's going to be rewritten.
Yeah.
Why bother?
Yeah. Why even? Maybe how. Just think the basic how-tos. Like, you know, don't be an
asshole.
How
to make a grilled cheese. Everybody needs that skill.
You do need that. Get the iron.
Yeah.
Put it on it.
Iron? Really? It's a good idea, actually.
Yeah, dude. You can totally do that.
Gina, do you have any, fears like that? You think, ugh, I gotta be alive for at least 11. Like, I just think.
No.
11 years felt like a long time, but then now I'm thinking, this kid will be like 10. No, that's not a long time.
My tendency is more toward being too realistic about the temporariness of everything.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna be like, yeah, 5-year-old, you're just gonna leave me. You're just trying to grow up every day, aren't you? It's going to be my problem.
Let's not be too attached to this cute
woman. Go and get married.
Yeah, I'm
like, what?
I don't know. I feel like it's going to take so long.
Blocks.
Like, when is it going to be? When am I going to be able to have a conversation? Like, I can't not. We're sitting out there, you know.
Yeah, three years. I mean, three and a half. Like,
not
we
a
talk about dragons and
castles
and poops. That's
all fine. And I'm looking forward to all those things. But I just realized that I don't even think I'm ever going to take my kid seriously. I was thinking yesterday while we were at Dough,
nobody
eating pizza,
that.
Drinking wine, having a conversation. And I was like,
that's not your job. It's your kid's friend's job.
Yeah, when is our kid going to be able to have a conversation like this? And I was like, probably never. Because they're going to sit there, they're going to be 19, saying stupid-ass 19-year-old things.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just going to want to smack the shit out of them.
But when they're with their other 19-year-olds,
yeah,
they're going to feel really deep.
You sound so dumb to me. You know, I've lived, a lot of years, and everything you're saying right now just sounds so stupid. They're like, whatever, Dad, you don't understand me. I was like, even the way you complain just sounds dumb. Sounds so inexperienced. So, I don't know. I'm just a little sad
worried about
that.
Your future 19 to 30-year-old child.
Yeah, like, you know how I stayed alive for you for this? For this conversation right here? I'm very unimpressed. I'm very disappointed in you, son.
You gotta up your game.
Like, if you want me to live at least 10, 15 more years, I mean, you gotta really up your conversational skills, son. That's the end of it. I mean, I can't really.
You get to think about that. You get to think about busting the joint wide open.
You might break your pelvis in three places.
Right?
Yeah.
God,
you've seen his head.
So painful.
I'm just going to be there. Gina wants me to film things. I'm not That's filming right. anything. I'm going to hire
really?
Somebody.
You should film it.
You're not going to hire anybody.
I'd like it
One
to be filmed.
One of your main jobs as a father... In the delivery room?
Wait, a father or a father? Which one is that?
A father.
Are they substantially different?
A collar. No, one of your main jobs as a father in the delivery room is make sure other people don't see your wife's charge. Like, she does all the work.
That's what I was thinking. But Gina's like, you're gonna film it, right? I want to watch this later.
I did not say that.
Gina wants to. She wants to go through the tape and like, you know, review her performance. Like, right here, we got to improve our blocking scheme. You know, I'd
like to watch it later.
I was like,
'cause I'm not gonna be present.
She wants to watch it
that way. Later, I might wanna. Like, oh, yeah.
And so then for me, I was like, okay, well, if my wife has a request, I'm going to do my best to fulfill that request.
Yeah. But then I was like, you're going to have to destroy the evidence, though.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I can film it, but then I don't want to be behind the camera the whole time. I want to be present.
Has a good idea. You should wear a GoPro.
That just ruined it. Yeah.
Birds.
I'm still going to be consciously aware of my positioning all times. Yeah. It's like, I think this happened to my grandpa. One time I grabbed the camera one time for my uncle's wedding, right? And I was recording it. And my grandfather couldn't make it. He was kind of sick. But he was watching the video. And he was like, who recorded this? This is terrible. And I was like, that was me. And he was like, what are you doing? And I was thinking about that. Now, I would be doing that too. I'd be like, what is this? This is horrible GoPro-ing. What a waste.
You could just put a camera on a tripod.
I could, but then you don't have, you know, you need to get in. You need the dolly.
You don't have to get in.
You need to zoom.
You don't.
You know?
That's what I'm saying. I don't need dramatic lighting. I don't need all that.
I need to hire somebody. And I go, hey, look, as Brad said, let's keep it above the equator.
You don't need a Northern stylist. Hemisphere.
That's right.
You don't need a fluffer. Just get a...
There are dudes walking by, like, mopping floors. There are people, like, delivering food.
No,
there are people wanting, like, consent form signs. Just like a quick shot of your wife's shot. You got to keep them out. You gotta
birth center. There's nothing.
Did your wife... What did y'all birth at? A brothel? Like, what are you talking about?
A fucking brothel. They keep sweeping the same spot.
Yeah. Pervy janitor outside. What the hell? What kind of birth ward is that? So ours going to be, you know, maternity place. What is it called officially?
Maternity place.
What is it called? Birthing town? Birthington. I think it's where it's like the sister place to Burlington
Code Factory. Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Birthingtons. It's going to be like all quiet. They got candles and shit there.
Bullshit. They're going to be fucking quiet. There's going to be a bunch of people
around.
Screaming
mother.
Look,
it will be quiet.
I think what he's saying, hon, is that he's wishing pain upon you. Look at him.
That's what I'm hearing.
Look at him over there
with his
3-day-old.
He's sending a seedy janitor our way.
Yeah, exactly what I'm doing.
Mrs. Midwife, do you have a janitor here that works at 4 in the morning? No, we don't.
You need one.
What is that guy doing there?
Get one.
All right. Well, that's funny. Can't believe I have to live for like 30 years, 40 years.
Yeah, now. Such an imposition.
Can't
it is.
My kids
it is an imposition.
And leave me already.
Yeah. Basically, right now, your kid is thinking about
already
that.
Already on his way out.
He's thinking, God, I can't wait to get out and get away.
It's already over.
Can't wait to get my own place.
Probably is thinking.
I know what he's thinking.
Have fun paying rent. Asshole.
Translucent bastard.
I want to know. I wish I'm going to place bets. Nobody's going to know. I'm going to put like in the secret dad bet.
You just told things.
No, I mean, with the kids, I'm going to listen to this. You know, is there going to be podcasting 7-8 years from
now? Right now.
He's not going to understand any of this. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't speak English.
No, I'm with you.
So I'm going to place bets. I'm like, all right, when is this kid going to be he's going to basically say, fuck you, dad. But he may not say it because he has respect, but he's going to be thinking it.
2 years
like
old.
If he were, yeah, I'm like, when?
Old.
Oh.
I think 4.5.
4.5? He's going to turn around and be like, fuck you. Like that?
He will be your
fuck
child.
Fuck you, dad.
Oh, I would be kind of proud and I might uppercut him.
That's right.
I don't know. Like, when is it? I mean, I know we're kind of going long, but we've been gone for a long time.
You're going long.
Yeah.
Now, you've been outside of this conversation. When was the first time that you kind of almost nearly cursed at your parents?
If ever.
Maybe you didn't say an expletive, but you just kind of were like, you know.
Not every kid.
Maybe your dad popped you in the mouth for it, and you're like, he's like, hey, you don't talk to me like that, son. Were you like 7? I feel like Dale has a smart mouth.
Maybe this is a guy thing.
I feel like Dale was saying some things he shouldn't have said. Give a dirty look.
I was a pretty big smartass. I mean, especially in my teenage years, you know, like
I'm a little bit of a know-it-all. You know that about me. You love that about me. And
I know you do.
At that moment, your dad didn't really like it. He's like,
and, you know, so I would just, and I like to push buttons. Like, that's a big thing. I would just like to say things to just frustrate and annoy.
And you grew out of that, didn't that. You?
Yeah. Well, no, my dad never hit me, but I pissed him off pretty good. You know, yeah, I pissed him off pretty good. But
yeah. So, how old were you? That's what I'm saying.
I don't know, man. Like, but it's probably 14. I had to be a teenager. That you know, a teenager probably. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's gonna be like 14. Kids yeah. gonna say something. I'm like, hey, like, wouldn't be surprised. Like, hey, you don't talk to me that like that yeah. way. You know,
knowing yeah. both of us, what? It's gonna be much earlier than
nah,
that.
Nah, it's gonna be that.
If you did to talk it, back to my whenever kid, you did my it, you can parents. Expect your kids to do it right around the same time.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be teenagers. I was like, before we started talking about this, I was thinking like 12, 13, maybe 14. Brad, when yeah. did you smart off?
I really think I was like 6 or 7. I mean, I believe that.
Gina, when was it? When did your mom? Because you always tell the story about your mom saying, "Hey, like you're being like a smart ass."
Yeah, but see, that's not the same thing. Like right, yeah. you're confusing things that you're asking for. Like,
okay, right, well,
I was never
answer
like,
whatever one makes you feel more comfortable.
Never, no, there was no moment like that for yeah. your first question. But then the one you're changing it to of just being a smart aleck.
Yeah,
yeah, I got in trouble for that all the time. My mom was always calling me smart ass.
Yeah,
so and I'm like, ooh, you cussed.
Yeah, all right, but like yeah. the, you never like smarted bet off to your mom?
Yeah. yeah. Such a little I was angel afraid. It wasn't good. Because I was sweet. I was scared.
That's good. So the fear lasted a long time.
She put the fear in me.
I think it was like 13. 12, 13 is probably when it happened.
Hey, yeah, 6 year old. Probably a teenager.
Yeah. I mean, that's when I expected. That's when I'm ready for it, you know? I'll be preparing.
Yeah.
Storing up provisions for that time. When do you think your children will smart off to you, Bradley?
They already have.
yeah. I mean, every now and then Anna thinks that she's a fucking genius, gets a smart mouth with me. She's 3. So I think it'll happen probably 6, 7.
God.
Yeah, stuff will go south really quick.
Yeah. That's like, I don't know, yeah. You're going to get mad? You're going to get, like, a red face and be like, you're going to be, like, pissed that she said that to you? Like, don't you disrespect me like that and talk to me like that.
I usually get pretty pissed when she says disrespectful shit to Lauren. Mm. But I think it's usually funny, actually.
That's why. You're encouraged. She's like, Dad likes it. I got a good one. I'm going to cook up another one right here. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'll let you think about when you were smart enough to your parents. That was really awful of you. You should buy your parents, I don't know.
Christmas present?
Something nice for Christmas and tell them, you know what, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said that to you, Mom, Dad.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, it was true, but, you know, I'm sorry I said it. Or give us your guesstimations. When did you say it?
Guesstimations.
When do you think that your kid's going to look back at you and just... I mean, basically...
Say, get fucked, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically the equivalent of that, you know?
I'd love to, Anna.
It's been a long time.
Lesson learned for today, guys. Don't get on the bus. Don't get on a Greyhound.
Do right. not ever, ever, ever get on a bus. Greyhound.
No. Not with Brad.
No.
Not ever. It's not the ever. Worst experience I've ever had.
I would rather walk home from Knoxville yeah. than have to take another Greyhound.
What was, yeah. what, in 30 seconds, what was so awful about it?
The abrasive employees, the terrible smell, the bodily fluids.
The crammed up next fucking, to
yeah, strangers. There was this fucking so dude like who wanted to... Just sit next to me on the bus. I'm like, there's 17 other goddamn seats on the bus, man. Go sit in one of those. Nope. Want to sit next to me while this fucking 7-year-old kid just sits there and stares at me from the seats. In the middle of the night, mind you.
That was great.
was terrible.
We texted Brad to check if he was okay, and he was like, "Oh, we're I'm getting here fine, but I'm never taking a Greyhound."
That's what I said after I took one time on the bus. I was like, "I'm never doing it." There's something. It's like the most depressing experience.
It is awful.
It's like a vacuum of like all hope and joy. It just like sucks it out of you.
It really is, man.
My grandmother, she likes riding the Greyhound.
But she's not a complainer.
I guess. But I also, I'm like, I can buy you a plane ticket back to Missouri. She's like, no, I don't want to ride around. It's fine.
Let her ride a Greyhound.
She does it all the time. She likes it. It's weird. She prefers it. It's the weirdest. I've never ridden on a Greyhound before, so I was like, it can't be that bad. Right?
But then you're
like,
I would assume it's horrible. So you guys are confirming.
Yeah. So I don't know.
The station in Knoxville, for instance, when I got there, I was like, oh, you know, I had about six beers. I need to go take a leak. Two of the three sinks were filled with vomit.
Yeah.
There was vomit on the floor. There was feces on the wall. It was disgusting.
See, I think part of that problem, though, is, like, the station ends up being, like, the only place people, drunk people, random people who aren't riding the bus can go and use the facilities, so it ends up being really disgusting.
No, yeah, but I mean, they still have to maintain it.
Too. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just the fuck. Just don't do it. Don't subject yourself to a bus.
I remember we stopped at the Greyhound bathroom or the VIA station bathroom downtown one time.
Yeah.
Like, after going to a bar or something, a show or something, the bathroom was disgusting.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't get on the bus.
Oh, man.
That's for sure.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I got to try it myself. I mean, just to feel it firsthand. But that sounds awful. I can't. That was, you should. Nobody can. It's obviously an audio medium. But Dell's face, he was like, don't do it. Eyes raised. Don't do it. It's awful. He's making hand gestures. They're all dramatic.
It was 15 years ago, and I still, it's like fresh in my memory.
You wake up in the middle of the night. No, Greyhound, no, let me out.
I wouldn't. I am serious. I would just rather not go.
Yeah. And I was the same same way. I took it out of dire necessity. Like, there is no other way. It was the only way to get home. And, yeah.
I think my grandmother's crazy, I guess. She's just like, it's fine. Just, I don't know. I'm like, I've offered to buy her plane ticket before. Yeah. She refuses. She's like, I like the Greyhound.
Maybe that's just comfortable and she knows it. And,
maybe.
It's familiar to her at this
point. Well, and maybe they got nicer Greyhound. Maybe they got a better district or region of Greyhound out there.
Yeah, possibly.
Than the one you took.
Because the one I took was from like Virginia to Mississippi, so basically through the same area. Yeah.
Not for me, not again. I would rather ride on the back of a fucking motorcycle at 200 miles an hour the entire way from Virginia to Mississippi. With no bathroom breaks, just pissing on the back of the person who's driving the motorcycle.
That's what you get for being so frugal. You say, no, tonight I'm getting on the Greyhound. It's going to be great. And it's like, okay, I guess.
Okay.
Say, all right, man. It sounds good. That's fine. Well, I'm glad we're all back into our home bases.
In action.
Yeah.
It was good to talk to y'all and see y'all.
Yeah, it was. It was good to see y'all.
You guys made me laugh so hard. That was funny. Sure. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody, to Deranged Penguin Podcast. Tell your mom not to ride a Greyhound.